Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come. Nope.
Yesterday, I'm listening to the game, driving back, and they announced Strope is coming in. And so I text Zach, and I text, uh-oh. And then I erased it before I sent it because I didn't want to give him bad juju. And then he came in there. What, he struck out the first batter and then home run the second batter?
Yeah.
Gosh dang, stop
you
doing
were right.
That. Stop doing that.
That's a good point.
Right. That's not. We don't put you in the game to do that. We put you in the game to get guys out so they can celebrate a great pitching job. By what was his name? Crawford?
Would you ever be interested in filling in for Ron Coomer?
Mike Mulligan.
Nope.
And David Hall.
Nope.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
The players also have their nicknames on the back of the jerseys on this Players Weekend. And on the huge video board in left here at Wrigley Field, they put up those nicknames instead of the full name of the player.
Now, let me ask you a question here. We do have the bases loaded, so we don't want to go too far away from the game. But did the ginger hair genius wrap all the way around the number on this white jersey you have?
Yes.
All the way around?
All the way around.
I like it.
Coomer. Coomer.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Oh, man. It was the Hall of Famer, Willie Stargell, who once said, "To me, baseball has always been a reflection of life like life. It adjusts, it survives everything." And the biggest test of that quote begins today on both sides of town as the Cubs and White Sox begin in earnest preparations for what will likely be the most different and challenging season we will ever witness. Hi, everyone. A pleasant good morning to you. It's the Mully and Haw Show. They're off to begin the holiday weekend early. So guess what? We've got a few pinch hitters broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Zach Zabeman with you, pleased to be joined by Bears, or maybe future Cubs analyst, Tom Thayer, and Cubs radio analyst, Ron Coomer. Good morning, guys. Coom, I'll start with you. What do you think about Tom's ability to break down a baseball situation?
First of all, good morning, and we always appreciate good juju going to our team. I try to do that every Sunday morning when I'm watching the Bears, but, you know, it is what it is. We could use anything and everything you can get. So, yeah, I Tommy knows baseball. It's all good. He's more than welcome, Z, to come in the booth here in another month and have at it. We love it. Any and all help we can get, that's for sure.
Well, you know, when you said that we're in here pinch hitting, I wouldn't be the guy pinch hitting. I'd be the guy that they would put to the plate just to get hit by a pitch to keep the rally going to get in. Because, again, you can hear my baseball skills come out of me when I describe baseball action. So, no, there won't be no coming up to the booth. However, when you're a sports fan of the town you grew up in, whether you're so naive about really the intricacies of the makeup of baseball. You don't know, you know, a lot about the game. You just sit there and observe it. And that's what captures your attention. That's what captures the excitement. So you can be as excited about a guy coming up to the plate or disappointed when a guy's going to the mound.
And we've got...
We've got a number of heavy hitters that will be joining us throughout the morning here on the Mully and Haw Show at 6:40. We will chat with the Baseball Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons, about how baseball is going to go about this 60-game season. Then at 7:30, a unique spin on things. We'll be joined by Hall of Famer Paul Molitor, Coombs' good buddy. And I want to get his perspective on a number of different things, including Coombs as a manager. This is very different what David Ross and Rick Renteria are going to be going through. There's nothing I think that they've done over the course of their baseball careers that can quite prepare them for this sprint to the postseason that's about to begin. And then at 8 o'clock, we'll be talking with the Super Bowl MVP, Doug Williams. A lot to discuss from the National Football League, both on and off the field. So there's a lot that we're going to get into, but let's start with baseball, Coombs, because I think the biggest thing is the sprint that essentially begins today with the workouts that are taking place, including on the north side. And we're already seeing what baseball in 2020 is going to be like. I saw the report out of Philadelphia that four Phillies have tested positive for COVID-19. That's a reality that is going to have to be dealt with this year. First off, trying to keep it safe, and then dealing with the virus, which will play a role likely on every team this season, Coombs.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt the virus is going to play a role with every ball club. Philadelphia, I was in Clearwater, and at the time when things spiked in Florida in that area, where the Phillies have spring training, all of a sudden, you know, they had a spike with their group that was working out in Clearwater at their facility. I think the first thing for David Ross is, what do you have, right? First of all, you got to see how the test results will go, and they probably already have those results, probably got them last night, I would assume, or first thing this morning. So that would be first, to see who you have. It came out yesterday that Quintana hurt his thumb, so he had surgery, and he's going to be out, so you know you're missing your fourth or fifth starter. And then the big question to me is, when you watch your guys take the field or are out on the field a little bit, you're going to know the stamina that they have, and are they in baseball shape? I'm going to guess some guys are a definite yes, and I'm going to say some guys probably aren't quite in baseball shape. And then, you know, so you're going to have to find out what you have with your guys, and then who's going to need what. I know they're going to stagger the workouts, so it's going to be long days for the coaching staff for the Cubs and David Ross, but it's going to be a very quick evaluation, and then trying to keep guys going the right direction and getting prepared to play in 3 weeks, but not doing it so fast that, you know, some guys can maybe not get hurt but get sore, or their arm get a little tired, or just wore down a little, to where they start digressing instead of progressing towards playing in 3 weeks.
Hey, Coombs. On the basis of the managers, whether you're inexperienced like David Ross or you have multiple years of experience by other guys around the league, does this even the playing field because there's so much uncertainty in the decisions you're going to have to make going forward? Or is it still have experience in the guys that have been managing a team or their team for a number of years?
Tommy, I'd be lying if I said it balances the field. I just don't think it does. With that being said, it'll be interesting to hear what Paul Molitor and why I wanted Paulie's perspective on this situation. I think when you have experience, that always helps, right? The one thing I will say in David Ross's case, though, is with his experience as a player for a really long time at the highest level and winning championships, his learning curve is going to be expedited greatly, a lot like a Paul Molitor. Even though David wasn't the player Paul Molitor was, they played a long time, and David was integral each day he played because he was a catcher. So he had to deal with every aspect of the game when you're behind the plate. So I really feel like David's going to have to lean on some of Theo and his group when you start talking about how you do rosters and what you do in game and how, you know, some of the things that go on. But I really think David will catch up very quickly. But there's got to be, I'm just putting myself in his shoes. There's got to be some situations where you're just shaking your head going, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I've done for the last 25 years. To play a 60-game schedule? We're not in college. That's a college schedule. You know, this is the big leagues, and, you know, we're a marathon. You know, and you think of baseball in those terms when you play a big league season. And now all of a sudden, every loss that you have this year is going to be like five from the year before. So it's, you know, and the pressure of getting off to a good start. So I think experience helps. I do believe, though, with that being said, that David's experience as a player and as a catcher will help him a lot coming forward here.
You know, Kuma, I was not a fan of the heat, so much so that I had to pay attention to it either in the days of training camp or looking at the schedule of the extreme hot games that we played. So now, if you think of baseball when it starts, whether it's in Arizona or Florida, the temperatures that you guys work out in the morning time, it's still cool enough where you can get a lot of work in. Okay, let's put it up into right now, 60-game season in the heat of the summer. You look at the 7-day forecast, and temperatures around here alone are above 85, 90 degrees. Is there a strategy that's going to go along with this about plopping an entire baseball league down in the middle of the heat rather than allowing them to prepare in the buildup of the heat during the early part of the season?
Well, the way I look at it is that's going to be one of those things that most guys, Tommy, because of when we play and when you've played all your life, they're accustomed to the summer. The other big thing, too, about baseball as opposed to football is you're not wearing all your the equipment you guys wear. If you're playing in a 90-degree game, I used to think about you guys playing in Tampa or Miami and just the advantage that was to the home team. It was crazy advantage to me. But I do believe a lot of guys are understanding of the time you play with the summer. They've done it all their life playing midsummer. But there will be certain guys that they will keep an eye on, I'm sure. John Lester being one. He sweats a lot when he pitches, and that's always a concern. You know, the bigger guys, Anthony Rizzo, who's in great shape, you know, you always wonder, you know, for Tony, he's 250, 260 pounds, you know, and now he's trimmed way down. You always get concerned about that somewhat, but, you know, I really believe that the training staff with the Cubs, PJ Mainville and his group, their attention to hydration and understanding the importance of it with the Cubs and actually with their deal that they've had for a couple years now with Gatorade, I do believe they do a really good job at keeping a close eye on all that.
So first crack, at least during this training portion, getting ready for the season, I guess Alec Mills will probably get an opportunity to join the starting rotation until Quintana can prove that he's right. And if you haven't heard the news about Jose Quintana, had surgery on his thumb, apparently injured a nerve in the thumb, cut it while washing dishes at home in Miami, according to the Cubs. I think the thing that you look at, Coom, when it comes to Alec Mills, is that we saw enough of him last season where if you are part of the organization, you have confidence in his ability to be a spot starter or a long reliever, kind of play that role that Tyler Chatwood had for most of last season.
Yeah, he's a guy, he's a strike thrower, first of all, so he's got good command, and he does not... the moment of the game does not affect him like a lot of young players. So that's a big plus for him. The other thing you're going to see is he's a little, if you were to put him next to certain pitchers, he's probably closer to Kyle Hendricks. And I do believe for Mills, being around Kyle, and if I were him, I would be Hendricks' shadow. And every time he threw a bullpen, I would go down there and watch his bullpen. Kyle is one of the best changeups in our game, and Mills has a good changeup. But you can always learn little intricacies about how he throws it, what he does, what pressures on what fingers. And just being around Kyle day in and day out, I would pick his brain every day. The one thing about Mills, though, is he's got a 92 to 93 mile an hour fastball, where Kyle probably pitches anywhere from 87 to 89, which, you know, when we're just talking about that, doesn't seem like a lot. When you're standing in the batter's box, it's a very big difference.
Yeah, and I was talking to Mills about this last season. He's a lot like Kyle Hendricks from the standpoint that they go about studying the game the same way. These are two guys that spend a lot of time in the Cubs pitch lab and have used the analytics to make them better pitchers physically, meaning, and we've talked a lot about this, Coom, especially last season, where, remember, Kyle Hendricks used to throw that pitch low and away. And then hitters in this era, they're smart. They study too, and they used to take those pitches and go with them the other way and have success. So what did Kyle Hendricks do to adjust to maintain his edge? He started throwing that four-seamer up and in, and that's something that he probably would not have done early on in his career, but I think it got him back on top in terms of having the advantage. And Mills is the same way. For those guys, deception is so critical to success.
It is. And, you know, years ago, pitching was understanding that you had to establish the inside part of the plate, and that's four strikes and four balls in off the plate. And I think it was vital for guys who were not power pitchers. And I think, obviously, Kyle fits right into that mold, and so does Mills. Kyle has such great deception, as you talk about, Zach, with his changeup, because of his arm slot and how it comes out of his hand, and you just don't see a difference in his motion from his fastball to his change. But, you know, big league hitters are really good, and when they can sit on a pitch and they're not afraid of the pitch inside, you know, they can do some damage on a ball away and just sit on that change. So that four-seam fastball did become a big pitch for Kyle. And I don't necessarily think that he has to be a guy that pitches at the top of the zone like we see so many other pitchers in our league now, that's popular. He just has to come inside for effect somewhere around that inside corner. Not leave the ball out over the plate, but if you miss, miss in. But if you hit the corner, great. When he did that, when he was effective doing that, he got a lot of quick and early outs and counts because the guys were just sitting on a pitch away. They saw it and they tried to adjust, and he's got enough fastball to get the routine ground ball to Bryant or to Javi and just get routine outs.
So usually we would have the 5 at 5 beginning our next segment, but I've got more than 5 questions for you guys. There's so much.
And we got good juju going.
And we do have good juju. Hey, I have a serious question. We got to take our first time out here, but when we come back, fear. You know how they say you can't have it when you play sports? But how do you not have it considering the climate that we're living in? We'll discuss next. Tom Thayer is here. So's Ron Coomer. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think Tommy's story will resonate throughout baseball and serve as a stark reminder of how important it is to follow the protocols and keep everyone safe. And certainly, our team will feel that more than anybody, since Tommy's so well respected and loved in the clubhouse. And fortunately, will be around us every day to serve as a great example.
Cubs president Theo Epstein talking about pitching coach Tommy Hotovy, who earlier this week on the Mully and Haw show on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, revealed that he had a really bad case of COVID-19. It took him 30 days to overcome it and finally test negative. Said it crushed him mentally. It took him into some dark places, had difficulty breathing, all that kind of stuff. And you won't find a person that's in better shape than Tommy Hotovy. So it was a real eye-opener, I think, for the Cubs organization. And I think it serves as a teaching tool for the rest of the team that, hey, do what you can, as much as you can, to stay diligent and follow the protocols so you don't put yourself in the position that Tommy Hotovy was in. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Ron Cooper with you, filling in for the dynamic duo of Mike Mulligan and David Haw this morning until 9 o'clock on The Score. Peter Gammons will join us at 6:40. The Hall of Famer Paul Molitor will step in at 7:30, and then we'll talk some football with Doug Williams coming up at 8 o'clock. But I never use the word afraid when it comes to professional sports. It's a lesson I learned from Tom long ago. The courage that it takes to play sports, and football's a little different than baseball, a little different than hockey, a little different than basketball, but you can't succeed in professional sports without having a great deal of courage, because there's a lot that you have to overcome in order to succeed. But is it realistic to think, Coom, that there are guys that might have fear, because we're talking about something this season that you've never had to deal with when it comes to COVID-19?
Well, there's some different issues now, right, Zach? And when you and I were at Wrigley Field a week ago looking at our booth with, you know, Joe Rios and Mitch, and we were, you know, drifting around the park, you know, there's a different vibe around Wrigley Field with all of us wearing masks and, you know, no handshakes or hugs or, you know, to say hi with guys that we've known a long time and we haven't seen each other. So there is a difference. There's a different feel. There's a different mindset. And you're accountable to different things when you're talking about this virus. You know, for all of us, we're accountable to, you know, our job and what we do, but we're also accountable to our families. You know, and a lot of guys have small kids, and, you know, you have parents that are probably quite a bit more vulnerable, and for ourselves. So I think guys are going to be much more aware of that. I don't know. Fear is probably a good way of putting it. You just have to make sure, if you're going to the ballpark, that you're accountable to these protocols and understanding the importance of it. And that's me looking in the mirror, because, you know, for a long time, you just, I didn't accept it all the time. And, you know, I think we have to, we really do. You don't want to make that mistake of doing something silly or stupid. So once the guys get on the field though, Zach, I think you get back to, and Tommy, you can talk about this too. I think for anything that's happening in your life, once you get on the field and you start participating in your workouts with your teammates, or a game situation, even that much more so, all those other things kind of get pushed. Athletes are great at being very specific in their duties of what they're doing, and putting them in compartments of, I'm playing now, this is what I'm doing, and I'm 100% mentally and physically in. I think athletes are great at that, Tommy, and I always felt I was. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, I agree 100% with you, Coom. And, you know, to me, when I look at this story about sports and COVID, fear and concern are two completely different things. When you go on the field every play and practice as a football player, you can't live in fear. I don't think I ever went and started a year or started the season and having fear in me that I was going to get hurt. The off-season preparation put me into a state of confidence that I believed I was up to the physical approach of football. Concern, it almost never leaves your mind because you're not concerned as much for yourself. You're concerned for the big picture of family, people just out in the world and stuff like that. And then where is going in the big picture? So, yeah, but when you do go on the field, it's got to be about the sport you're playing, because however many guys you're playing with in terms of football, the other 10 guys in the huddle are counting on you to do things exactly according to the football plan. Don't think about the virus and then try to listen to the play. You better listen to the play. You better know your assignment. You better know how many other guys that affects. So the fear of the game, it was always there because you saw teammates laying beside you if they did suffer some type of injury. The concern of the virus, I think it's something that you're going to have, and it's, you know, it's not going to go away. So it's just kind of a weird element between fear and concern.
Yeah, I heard Theo Epstein say that at first everything is going to be strange because it's not a normal part of your routine. But eventually, all the protocols will become second nature because that's what you need to do in order to be able to have a successful season in 2020. And Tom, did you see this? NFL players reportedly could be fined for breaking coronavirus-related protocols. So I think in that sport, more so than the others, because it is so physical and there's contact on every play, it is vital that as a player, you have trust that everyone around you is taking care of themselves.
Well, you know, you might have to have an example of your team leader standing in front of your football team, the guys that haven't been there, the rookies that are just coming out of college. For the players to set the example in the locker room is always the best examples to follow, because that's when you break through the peer group pressure. It's not Mike Ditka busting in the locker room and yelling at everybody to the end of his breath, because I think there's a lot that's lost in that translation. However, if you have, you know, from a Mike Singletary to a Fencick to Hamp, and these guys stand up in front of you and stress the importance of kind of being selfish with your personal time. Keep it to your family. Keep it down to nobody other than us. I think it's a message that has to, you know, infiltrate every single sports team locker room out there.
And Coom, it's something that from the moment a Cub or a White Sox player walks into the stadium, you're confronted with. I mean, the Cubs have moved the weight rooms outside. It's just going to be a new reality. But I get it, because it's easy to get focused and do the right thing when you're trying to win a championship. A championship is at stake in baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. What is weird to me, and I don't know if you saw this, Coom, but you know how the NBA is reportedly discussing a second bubble for non-playoff teams that'll be here in Chicago? It'll include the Bulls. My thing is, why? Why would you want, as a player, even if you're a young player fighting for a job, why would you want to participate in something like this with that kind of risk when there isn't a championship at stake?
Well, I think a lot of guys that are playing in that second tier of this NBA season, I thought the same thing yesterday when I heard that there's going to be an eight-team kind of tournament for the teams that aren't playing for the championship in the NBA. But there's a lot of players, Zach, that have worked their whole life to try to get to the NBA, get to the NFL, get to Major League Baseball. And there are a lot of guys on those teams, obviously, because of the situation they're in, being one of the bottom eight teams in the league, that are really borderline on staying in the league, getting to the league. I would bet a lot of these teams are going to use this time to see what they have with other players and just try to develop, right, and see what you got. So I know for me personally, when I first got to the big leagues, I was playing on a last-place team for the Minnesota Twins. And I'm telling you, every game was my World Series. We'd play the Cleveland Indians, and we had Jimmy Tomey on a couple, 4 weeks ago on our show on Sunday. And his team was the best team in the league, Cleveland, and ours was the worst. And that was my World Series. Every time I played them, and anybody, I was fighting for my big league life. And, boy, you talk about playing with, you know, it was like I was back in high school trying to beat Joliet Catholic. You know, you're just killing yourself trying to do anything you can to impress your manager to make him want to write you in that lineup the next day. And so for me, I think a lot of those NBA guys that are on this bottom rung of teams, these guys are fighting for their NBA lives and trying to be, you know, a guy that's a mainstay in the league. There's a lot of money to be made and a lot of great times to be had in the league if you can stick.
You know, Coombs is making a great point, because I think when no matter what sport you play, I think, you know, selfishly and with blinders on, you're only looking at the guy in front of you. Who do I have to beat out to earn my time? And whether you're one of the NBA teams that's fighting for an NBA title or one of the teams that's invited to that second tier grouping of play, if you break it down individually and now you go and ask some of these players, why do you want to play? A lot of this last dance memory is still in the heads of some of these young basketball players that got to reinvest in the importance of superstars in this game and the roles they played from all the different, the Olympic teams and the championship teams. That's ultimately what they want. When I got drafted by the Bears, the only thing I did was I started studying the talent in front of me. When I went to the USFL, luckily enough that I was signed and I was thrust into a position that I had to succeed. But when I finished the USFL season and I was going right into the NFL season, the only thing I was looking at was the guy that had offensive guard listed in front of them. So it's not selfish, but that's the way we're raised in sports. And Coombe talking about being from a last place team and wanting to be on the first place team. I think that's, as a football player, when you're a backup, the only goal right then is to get in that starting role.
Yeah, everything's about moving up. You know, Don Casey, the Pistons head coach, said the following: the reason we want these mini camps is to get our team together, to have the camaraderie, to improve and enjoy some competition. We feel we can do that safely in our own environment. We can't let these guys sit around from March 11th to December without something. It's going to hurt their careers. It's too long of a layoff. So that's why the NBA is trying to put together that second bubble for the non-playoff teams that are not competing down in Orlando. And in all likelihood, it will take place here in Chicago, and it will include the Bulls. Let's take a break. When we come back, how's this for a switch? The Bears have a quarterback competition, and they only have 2 preseason games to do it. How is that going to work? We'll ask the 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, next. Ron Coomer's along. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're in for Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I am. I really am. They're really trying to do it the right way. You know, we're going through a lot of conversations with the Player Association. You know, the league and them are working very diligently to make sure they put, you know, all the safety precautions in place. They really do. I mean, This really is about making sure, you know, this really is about player safety and coaches and everybody. So I think they're trying to do things the right way.
That is former Bear and current Washington head coach Ron Rivera from earlier this week with McNeil and Parkins right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Ron Coomer with you in for Mully and Haw this morning. We talked to Peter Gammons coming up at 6:40. The NFL Players Association conducted a 2-hour conference call yesterday with team player reps and the union's medical director, centering on protocols the league and the union have been discussing to allow players to participate in training camp and the regular season amid the pandemic. And training camps are going to get underway for the Bears July 28th. They're going to have a quarterback competition and only two preseason games to do it. So I ask you, Tom, can you know for sure who the starting quarterback is going to be simply based on training camp practices? Because that's where you're going to learn a lot more about who the right quarterback is as opposed to these preseason games.
You know, I think the way that they can script practices, you could probably do it within a two-week period of time if you're only practicing against your own team. And it's this. When you're out there playing a preseason game, there's a lot of unknown. You don't know the scripted plays that the defensive coach has on the sheet of paper like you do at practice. You have to see how players react to their assignments and how they go about fully accomplishing their job that the play concludes with a whistle by a referee. In practice, you have such a different demeanor. You know you're not going to go to the ground. You know you're not going to hit anybody below the waist. And the way you can script practices, it's so important, because every single play that I want to see how this quarterback reacts against the certain defense with the players in an exact position on the field, and you know what they're supposed to do. You call the play, and now if you have a quarterback that's hesitant to go to the obvious read, or you have a quarterback that should be changing the play to an inside run rather than the pass they have called, all those things are easily identifiable. So, you know, back in the era when you didn't go practice against another team, where you just played the preseason game, everything was worked out for itself in the course of those games, and that's when you watch that tape with the rest of your team. But when you're trying to make a quarterback evaluation, you can set that up, and you can have it easily read by all the offensive coaches that know exactly that this pass coming out of this quarterback's hand should be read to his left and be out of your hands within 0.8 seconds. Now, if all those details fall apart and you're scrambling and you're trying to read your third read, that is really, you know, you're not going to use it in those time frames, the quarterback decision, I think, will be easily made.
So, Tommy, let me ask you this question, because there's been so much made of this position and this competition. Can you sit in a video room, or, you know, now guys can do it from their home with all the technology? Can you learn enough in an off season of just watching film and formations and understanding your role on the team? So and obviously Trubisky, it's all on him. Can you learn enough in the off season to make that transition from being a guy that looked like he didn't always understand where he was supposed to go or what he was supposed to do and the reads he was supposed to make almost instantaneously coming to the line? Can he fix that in the offseason, or is that something that he's going to have to get in front of his players and get in those situations at practice that you're just talking about?
Yeah, you can. You know, Coombs, you know, you had an interesting experience in growing up in football, and you look at a guy like McMahon, who, when we had Jimbo Covert on, he called Jim McMahon the smartest football player he's ever played with, and here's a guy that roomed with Dan Marino, a Hall of Famer. So when you watch film with Jim McMahon, he can look at a defensive formation for an instant, Coom, and right there he can filter through all the language he's already said in his head and knows exactly where the ball is going to go. And so when we used to watch these quarterback meetings between John Gruden and the quarterbacks that are coming up through the draft, he could ask those guys a series of questions, and all this time he's filtering information to, you know, get the, you know, evaluate the understanding of this, the quarterback, and how well he knows football. So can Mitchell Trubisky speed up the way he understands this offense, understands the complications and where to go with it in terms of how many plays he's calling the huddle? Yeah, he can. Yeah, things are repetitiously done on the football field, but you can improve a lot after of watching the tapes, the videos that they have now, because you can look at players individually, you can look at end zone sideline angle, and, you know, all these things that you need to improve on and make it become second nature. You could do it off of video and verbally being coached.
This segment is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook at BetRivers.com. All right, so here's another question. You know, Tom, we've always, at least it started last season. There was a big, big thing made of it during this offseason is the establishment of the Bears running game. And I bring that up because when you look at the way the defense is with the Bears, how strong it is, it would make sense to play a ball control type of game, keep that defense fresh, control the clock, give yourself the best opportunity to win. And since the quarterback play is up in the air with the Bears, you know you can run the ball if you truly establish it. And the other thing is, this is a league now designed to stop the pass because nearly everybody's slinging the ball. So what you began to see last season, teams start running the ball in order to combat what defenses are designed to stop. And San Francisco had a lot of success doing it. Tennessee had a lot of success doing it. Baltimore had a lot of success doing it. And then all of a sudden, this offseason goes by, and just this week, you see Bill Belichick, the reigning genius, decide to sign Cam Newton. And I'm scratching my head, and I'm trying to think, like, why would he do that? He doesn't fit what the Patriots like to do offensively. Under Tom Brady, this was a team that it was all about quickly getting the ball out of the hands of the quarterback into the playmakers based on timing and rhythm and anticipation. Well, why would you sign Cam Newton? And it got me thinking, that's the reason. It's to freeze these defenses, right? It's to combat what they're designed to do, which is stop the pass. And then I look at the Bears and I'm thinking, well, you've got a quarterback who can do that, but they don't run that kind of an offense. Do you have to tweak some things in order to make that happen, Tom?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because Cam Newton is like putting another running back in the backfield who can throw the ball. He's big, he's strong, he's powerful. If the defense is showing a 4 or 5 man front that exposes these big holes in the running game, a majority of that is going to go to the running back. But when Cam Newton has to make that, you know, 3rd and 3, when the pass breaks down, he has that ability in the running game. I don't think you want to, you know, do that solely because, you know, he does have some injury issues. But Bill Belichick can morph the offense according to Cam Newton. This is not an offense that they're going to take of what Tom Brady did and insert Cam Newton into it. This is going to be Cam Newton's offense. When you look at the Bears, I think the best assistance to any quarterback who plays for the Bears is David Montgomery, because this young running back, I think, was underutilized last year, even though he had a lot of touches. When you talk about being able to, you're in control of the line of scrimmage. First of all, with the physical style of play that Matt Nagy has talked about and the reason they went in and brought in Juan Castillo, if you have the ability to do anything you need to do up front against the offense, it's going to be through David Montgomery. He's a powerful runner. He can make tacklers miss. He's got great hands, either catching swing passes out of the backfield or catching passes downfield. So that's the biggest growth element in this offense is going to be the physical style of the offensive line and then incorporating David Montgomery a lot more. And then allow the quarterbacks to morph according to the plan. And it's similar to New England. They're going to build this offense around Cam Newton. This offense in Chicago is already inserted, but you have to build more through the eyes, feet, and power of David Montgomery.
So then, Tommy, when we've talked in months past, you've talked about the offense, and it runs, so it's going through Montgomery. But for Montgomery to be successful, it's the guys in front of him, your position, the offensive line guys. Do you feel the Bears are in a good position to let Montgomery have success, in running the football as much as you feel they need?
Well, you know, Coom, have you ever gone to a training camp for baseball and the manager stands in front of you and tell you, guys, we are going to do this differently than we did it last year, and the whole protocol, the way we go about business, is going to change? As soon as the season concluded last year, Matt Nagy went to the podium and he made the remarks about how much more physical he wants the line of scrimmage to be. to me, that kind of raises the flag at the end of the offseason to the offensive line going, look, boys, you're going to be the reason that we're successful. Don't look at Mitch or Nick Foles. Don't look at Allen Robinson or Jimmy Graham. It's about 70% of the effectiveness of this offense is going to be because there's going to be a new physical approach at the line of scrimmage. So I think that the challenge has been up. The challenge has been known to this group of guys, offensive line coach, tight ends, anybody who's going to be involved in the blocking scheme, that this is one element that we have to drastically improve on.
And if they stay in that mindset, I mean, for a guy going into camp in your position as an offensive lineman, I mean, you got to love the idea of, hey, they're putting it on my shoulders and the guys up front. There's nothing better. I could think nothing better that you would like going into camp when you had Walter Payton behind you, knowing that the offense was running through Walter and it was on you guys up front. You talk about Covert and, you know, and Hilgenberg and all you guys in the front. I mean, you had to love that situation to going into camp.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying. You know, we'd be sitting there before a pregame locker room in baseball, I'm sure, is a lot different than a pregame locker room of football, because you're kind of getting into this frame of mind that is going to take you some other place for the next 3 hour and 45 minutes. But as when we would be sitting in front of our lockers before a game, Dicka would walk by and he'd look and he'd go, my five blocks of granite, I'm going to need you today. And it was kind of a sarcastic encouragement, because we knew what he meant. We knew that it was about how the offensive line would perform for Walter Payton and for this team. That's how the job was going to get done. So those sarcastic words of encouragement, you know, we had the understanding that if we, like Coach Dick Stanfield used to say, if you win the game, you're not going to get any credit. If you lose the game, you're going to get all the blame. So, you know, you kind of always had that mindset going into it.
So the less they talked about you in post game, the steak tasted better then, didn't it?
Yes.
All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to go deep into the mind of the Coom Dog and find out what he's looking for as workouts begin in earnest on both the north and south sides. Baseball season is in full gear, with the season beginning either July 23rd or 24th. They're getting ready, and Coom is going to get us ready for what to look for as training begins. Ron Coomer's along. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Our producer is Sean Anderson. We're in for Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.